Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk to a local woman competing in the World Championship Obstacle Course Racing Competition. We talk with Ram Restoration of Grand Rapids about keeping the elderly safe in their homes. The Grand Rapids Public Library is seeking community input on library usage and operating hours. Author Sharon Vertz presents the Field of Honor series. And we talk about the O'Cannon Kids Rock Painting event today.
Well, she's been selected to represent Team USA at the OCR World Championships. The path to the point's been a bit unique, she says, but let's talk about this obstacle course racer. That would be you, Kaylee Winesma. Good morning to you. Just competing in Pennsylvania, soon competing here locally, soon Worlds. Be careful what you wish for. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Okay, here we go. Lots of 101s. You, an elite obstacle course racer. Is this your full-time job?
Definitely not. That would be a dream, but no, there's quite a few other jobs. I coach a competitive gymnast as well as own my own fitness studio, Transform Fitness Studio in Jenison. So personal trainer on top of, you know, obstacle course racer keeps me busy.
But that's what I would want in a personal trainer is someone who's walking the talk, walking the walk, doing the things that you're teaching others. We'll get to that. Talk to me. You were a former competitive gymnast.
Yes.
Yes. What was that like?
I mean, I didn't start competitive gymnastics till I was a little bit older, relatively speaking. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. Loved, you know, just the challenge and just flipping around, feeling kind of like you're flying. Yes. And then, you know, it got to where that wasn't something that was in the cards to do anymore. So then I switched to running and then went to college for running. So that was cool that I got to, you know, run collegiately and do what they call steeplechase. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Explain. It's several events.
So basically it's like a 3K around the track. You have hurdles that you can either hurdle over or step onto and a water barrier. So obstacle course racing kind of was a nice transition because you have to hurdle, climb over things, and you get to do monkey bars and swing around. So it's like gymnastics and steeplechase kind of all combined.
And obviously smiling and still into it as you are now stepping it up and have earned a spot with Team USA. Let's do some 101s with an obstacle course racing opportunity. Are these for the common folk, your Spartan races and more?
Spartan races are definitely an obstacle course racing. So there's different, I guess, similar to like 5Ks, where you'll have, you know, different, you know, either fundraisers kind of that do fundraisers or races. So basically Spartan is one form of obstacle course racing. You'll have other races like Midwest OCR, Frontline, like Warx, all those different ones. So they each have their kind of own standard obstacles. And really anyone can do them because all of these races have what they call open waves. So when you get started, you basically, if you don't feel confident doing an obstacle, walk around it. You can skip it.
Don't you get penalized?
That
wouldn't be fair to the person that does the obstacle.
Typically, for the open waves, you don't get penalized. You have the option to do the penalty, but you're not required to. Once you're in the competitive waves and in the elite waves, either there's a penalty where you have to either do some burpees or maybe run a penalty loop, or on some of them, if you can't complete an obstacle, you get your band taken away. So, you know, it all depends on the race.
I just want a 5K where I start and I finish and there's nothing in between, but let's not digress there. So when did you know you would be hooked on an OCR race?
So honestly, it was my first race I ever did. I did a Spartan race, and it was a lot of fun. One of my former gymnast parents had said that, hey, I think you'll be really good at it. You should try it. So I, you know, trained some of the different grip stuff, things like that. And I got done with the race and kind of looked at my time, and I had done an open wave, but I was the fastest female out of like thousands of them that had done the open wave. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I might be kind of good at it. So the next one I did, I entered in the elite wave and was in the top 10. So I was like, hey, like if I actually, you know, work at it a little bit more, I could be pretty good at it.
And look at you now, as they say. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess let's cut to the chase. How does one qualify for Team USA in an OCR opportunity?
Each race has kind of a tier system. So depending on the challenge of the race, how many people tend to come to that race, kind of how the obstacles are constructed, they're given, you know, point systems. And each year you do your races, and then based on how you've done, you get to kind of enter in what your points are. And so you have to accumulate enough points in order to make it onto the team.
When and where do you go?
So for Worlds, we leave the beginning of August. So it starts the 6th and goes through the 9th. And it's going to be in Limerick, Ireland.
That's a place, fun place to travel, and obviously, I think your weather is going to be on your side. It's not that hot.
I hope so.
I mean, and then what's the goal?
The goal, I mean,
do you podium?
So you can't, like, as long as you're in the top three, you get to podium at Worlds. So, you know, the goal is to hit the top three. Obviously, you know, there's going to be the best of the best there. So, you know, it's a challenge, and the European obstacles, they run their races a little different than we do here in the U.S. They do a three-band system, which we have simulated, but that's all they do there. So those Europeans are used to racing that way, where for us it's just a little different. So, you know, you just got to push a little bit harder.
Yes. Now, will you, Kaylee, will there be a parade? Other Team USA has parade. They have dinners. They have...
There is an opening ceremony where at the beginning of Worlds, all of the countries that are there, we kind of march in. It's a celebration. The whole team is there, which is really cool. You know, we have our American flags. And then at the end, there is a closing ceremony as well after all of the team relays, which is on that Sunday. So it's kind of cool how you get to, you know, open it up. You have a festival where it's like, hey, like we all worked hard. We made it here. And we are planning on putting together like a team dinner before everything gets started, which is going to be kind of fun. There's, you know, it's just always exciting to get the whole team together.
New people.
Yeah.
Probably people you competed against. Are we all ages represented? Is this?
There are. There are youth that are coming and all the way up to like 60, 70 plus. So depending on where you qualified, you qualified age group, elite, teams. You know, there's multiple different distances, short distance, longer distance. So, you know.
And you've got a Team USA uniform, I'm sure.
I do.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Kaylee Wijnsma with us. Let's talk all things Team USA OCR World Championship. She's headed off in August as an obstacle course racer. And yet before then, this weekend, you have another Spartan race, yes?
Yes. So I'll be racing in Palmerton. So it's Pennsylvania. That's what the venue is called. So it's pretty hilly. Looking forward to just seeing some of the other people that I race against, have some good competition on a hilly course that you have to go hard and go fast and make sure you don't fall down the hills.
Yeah. No, let's stay upright, as they say. All right. How do you get into this? If somebody's listening and saying, I want to try this. What's the first step?
Honestly, the first step would be to essentially just get started. So whether, depending on where you're at in your fitness level, whether it be starting walking for longer distance, maybe it's running, maybe you do some like rucks, but basically building up your endurance, because it is ultimately a running race where building your grip strength and everything like that is important, but you also have to have the endurance and the stamina to make it, because the shorter distance ones are a 5K. The longer distance ones can be a half marathon to a marathon, depending on how adventurous you want to be. So like that, and then just, you know, functional strength training, kind of learning how to hang and hold on to things to build your grip strength. Farmer's carries are great. Obviously, wall sits and squats, lunges.
Yeah, I was on a website seeing pictures of you doing that. And do you present this with your day job? Do you
train people?
Train people to do this?
So I definitely train people as if they were going to do a obstacle course race, because really it's so functional, and working on just doing functional movement, whether you're wanting to go skiing, you still got to build your grip strength. So it works for obstacle course racing, for life. I never require anyone to have to do an obstacle course race. I'm like, hey, if you want to join me, I'll do this. I'll go at your pace, like no pressure. But again, no one's required to do it, but they see me doing it, and I've definitely have plenty join, because they're like, hey, do you know what? If you say I can do it, then I believe that I can do it. And if you're going to do it with me, then I'm going to do it. So that's been kind of cool to get others to just experience it, have the fun, and feel really accomplished, because it's something they never thought they could do.
Are you a mom?
I am. I have three kids.
So you have a balanced life, as they say, I think.
Something like that.
How do we find out more information about your journey, Kaylee?
Well, if you want to follow my gym, Transform Fitness Studio, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, or myself, Kaylee Winesma, both Facebook and Instagram. I post a lot about that. Then you can, there's a GoFundMe if you feel inclined to, you know, help offer some support for just the traveling and the fees, because as obstacle course racing is still pretty new, we have to cover our own way. So, you know, that's always appreciated. But yeah, that's the best way, is on social that way. My website is www.transformfitnessstudio.com. So you can kind of see what I have to offer from a gym standpoint. I also do some free community workouts. So I've just created the Jennison Hybrid Training Club, because, you know, what better than to just work out together? And our next workout is July 22nd at 7 p.m. At 596 Baldwin, just behind where Kids Unlimited is.
Show up and get strong. Kaylee Winesma, thank you very much. That's K-A-E-L-E-Y, if you're asking. Good luck in your competition. We'll think of you in Limerick in Ireland in August, and yet come on back to West Michigan and stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's keep you on top of how to best keep your home safe if it needs to be restored. And we're going to talk about a senior niche. That's a lot to get into our time, but that's what we do. Mike Nitz, you are here. Ram Restoration of Grand Rapids, your home away from home. Always a pleasure. Good morning to you, Mike.
Thanks, Shelley, for having me again. Appreciate it.
Yes, wearing many hats, but you've been in the business for almost as long as I've been in this business.
Yeah, we're over 25 years now trying to figure this thing out. But yes. Love what we do.
What is this thing you're figuring out?
So I'm with Ram Restoration. We're a local water, dry out, fire, smoke remediation company, mold remediation, and construction services. And Shelley, one of the things that we've really have come to understand is, how do we serve our senior population when things go wrong? When there's a fire, there's a significant water damage to the home, and how do we address that and focus on, first of all, safety of the person that's being cared for, and being a great resource for the caregiver, whether they're living in place at home or whether they're in a senior community. It's very important that when we get called to a situation like that, that we understand what the need is of keeping people safe, keeping people living in place, and making sure that they have the best resources to get a situation like I take care of it, fire, water, whatever that might be, get them back in their homes and be able to live in their own environment, because it's so important that when they're taken out of their environment, it can be a very difficult transition.
Yes, so you work along with those who want to, seniors or those who are loved ones, keeping people safe, minimizing disruptions, of course, to a daily routine,
right,
and restoring a home as quickly and efficiently as possible. So there's kind of a niche here. I mean, you'll, I'm sure, do it all.
Yes.
But what's the senior niche and why?
Well, we partner with some great local partners here in West Michigan. April Wells over at Gauthier Family Care, Brian over at Six Point Aging Strategies, which is a new organization basically being strategic about living in homes and making sure that families have the best resources and plan in place before, during, and after when something happens. But what we try to do is we walk alongside these great organizations, and when they see something that's going on in a home, whether it be you know, fire hazard, water issues, hoarding situations, whatnot, that they need a solution to give to their to the caregiver, to the families that are working with these their loved ones, and making sure that they have some sort of an idea that this is where you're at, this is what you have going, and here's my solution to somebody that could walk you through the process. My whole objection is to be a resource and give them a solution, whether they hire me or not. Ultimately, my first and foremost goal is to keep people safe, living in their homes, and giving them just a safe environment.
Give me an example of obviously a task that you have done, are doing, or will do.
Sure. So we the most significant thing we deal with day in and day out is residential water. And there's a lot of families now that have chosen, especially coming out of COVID, they have chosen to keep mom or dad in their home for as long as they possibly can. Well, when you've got a diagnosis with dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, whatever that looks like, and you have a caregiver in the home, there's a lot of different moving parts, making sure that even in the normal day living, rugs, lamp cords, carpet, everything's secured and free of clutter so there's no trip hazards and that sort of thing. So now you bring in an event like a major water event, a fire and whatnot. What we now have to do is make sure that when we bring in our equipment, we bring in hoses and cords and machines and dryers and dehumidifiers, all of a sudden that normal environment that that person that's being cared for, That environment has changed significantly, probably for the next week or so, whether it's just a dry out or now we have to tear out carpet and floor and we have some wall missing. Now, we have to try to get in there, remediate, put things back together as soon as possible. And our number one goal, obviously, is whether they're in a independent home living in place or they're in an assisted living, independent living, is to get them back in there with as little interruption as possible and making sure that they are in a familiar environment.
Do you work with homes and businesses?
We do. I do commercial and residential. So when I say caregivers, we're not just talking about your neighbor next door. We're talking about the neighborhood assisted livings, independent livings. And obviously West Michigan is saturated with those types of businesses. And we want to partner with the facility directors and put plans in place that when things do happen, that there are solutions and people that actually understand what it means to care for their residents. It's not just a we're in, we're out, and we're dragging things through their hallways and their rooms. It's like, well, let's be strategic about this, and this is why we do it. So even having a pre-plan and understanding what we need to do when it happens, not if it happens, but rather when it happens, having that in place with those facility directors and property management folks, we can be very proactive and have a plan even before it happens.
So a cool summary would be, while your expertise is professional restoration, remediation, I think, cleanup services, correct, which you're good at, your commitment goes beyond repairing property.
It does. Ultimately, Shelley, our goal is to, whether you're a caregiver, a homeowner, a business owner, I want to make sure that you have a trusted local solution that's going to make sure that when the unexpected happens, that's the most devastating thing that can happen to your biggest investment, we can get you made whole again, get you back up and running, and have as little interruption as possible.
Sometimes unexpected things happen, don't they?
They do a lot, unfortunately.
Yes. All right, Mike, and obviously you're available ASAP if someone needs you.
I am. I'm local. Ram Restoration, we're in the heart of Grand Rapids, serving Lake Shore to Portland, Kalamazoo to Kent City. I'm always available for a free consultation. My coming in to help people with the walkthrough is always free. They can get a hold of me anytime at 616-818-1700, or they can contact me directly either through LinkedIn, Facebook, or on my mobile.
As you should be. Thanks for your good work. Ram Restoration, yes, of Grand Rapids, your home away from home. Thank you, Mike Nitz.
Thank you, Shelley.
Grand Rapids Public Library is seeking your input on library usage. Are you using the library? How best do you want that improved? Public input, of course, helping to shape future operating hours and more. So we bring you on in specifically to ask what you need, Deputy Director Jen Vanderhey. Good morning to you, Jen.
Good morning, Shelley.
Get ready. I'm going to ask you what you're reading because you work at a library.
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, stand by. That's the very end. Jen, I'm glad you're here. What's your role as a deputy director for Grand Rapids Public Library?
Yeah, I oversee operations for all 8 locations and then special projects like this one.
8 locations, all going strong. Are we still walking in the library and reading a book?
We are.
Nice. Thank you for you. And yet, it's 2026. It's not your grandmother's or grandfather's library anymore. Why seek community input?
That's a great question. So our hours of operation at the Grand Rapids Public Library have been unchanged for about 20 years. And we know, though, that the way that people are using our spaces, our programs, our collections has changed. So we want to seek community input at this time to make sure we're offering the right hours to meet emerging community needs.
So there would be something called a library hours survey.
Yeah.
Yes. Before we go there, what are your hours in general? Don't they vary by branches?
They do. In fact, that is one of the reasons we're doing this survey. We actually have sort of 4 underlying hour systems. And so that's actually a very complicated question for many patrons. When are we open? Our main library is open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 9 to 6 on Fridays and Saturdays. But our other locations have varying hours by days of the week. So most patrons have to look up what those hours are.
Yes. And I guess let's get into the survey. Who are you asking to participate?
All members who of the community that use us. So you're welcome. If you use us, please participate and use your voice to let us know what's important to you in terms of accessing us and when you access us.
Where do I find the survey?
You can find our survey on our website, and it's available until July 25th. It's a very short survey. It won't take you much time at all.
That was my next question because I don't have a whole lot of time. Just joking. I would sit down, and I will sit down and make sure this happens. What's your time frame for this?
That's a great question. So right now we're assessing our library hours, and we've been looking at a lot of data. We've been actually working on this project since February to look at usage data, but now we want to go to the public and get their input about what's important to them. So we're really in assessment phase. From there, we'll then start to look at how we want to best create hours of operation that are consistent and accessible across all 8 locations.
Looks like your survey is open through the 25th of this month?
Correct, yes.
And again, you depend upon community input here, I'm sure.
We do.
Is there a way, if I walk into one of your libraries, to fill something out if I don't have internet access?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you walk into one of our buildings, we have public computer stations. Staff can walk you over, help you have access, and get you connected to our survey online.
Yes. And I'm looking at this survey effort, operating hours analysis. It's focusing entirely on growth and innovation, adjusting hours. I'm trusting we're not going to do staff layoffs or location closures. Never say never, but I have to
go
there.
No, yep. We are not going to be closing locations or laying off staff. In fact, this is coming out of a new strategic plan that we just passed in February. So we're looking to transition to being a community hub here in Grand Rapids. But to do that and to make that happen, we need to look at how we operate day to day. And so that's part of what we're doing here. We're assessing and looking at our day-to-day operations to make sure we're investing our resources well.
So after the 25th comes and goes, those including yourself sit in a closed room and say, how'd we do? And then where do you take it from there?
Well, from there, we'll be talking to our board of library commissioners more about what's important to them for hours of operation. And we will eventually be bringing this before our board for discussion and for a vote.
The seriousness of serving on a board is you have a task to do. So thank you for that. Talking all things Grand Rapids Public Library, a survey for you, a library survey. Is it basically only about library hours?
It is just about library hours. It's very quick, very brief, and gives an opportunity for you to just tell us when and how you're using us.
Yes. Why the need for 8 branches?
That's a great question.
Not to throw you off at all, but...
We have 8 locations throughout the city because it's very important to us to serve our neighborhoods and to be where our residents are. We take our role as a community space very seriously and want to make sure we're accessible to our whole community.
And when I say it's not your grandma's library anymore, if one's not been in, let's just say your Grand Rapids Public Library, what experience do you have for me?
we have a lot of wonderful experiences for you this summer. So right now we have our summer reading challenge happening, mm-hmm. and that is running from June 1st until August 29th. It's for the entire community and all ages. This is not just for certain age groups. And it allows you to set reading goals, track your progress, and win prizes all for free. We have prizes this year like a Lego botanical gift set, $50 Meyer gift cards, and one-year memberships to Blandford Nature Center, John Ball Zoo, and Frederick Meyer Gardens. We also have events like this coming Saturday, our Comic Geek Out, and that's for the whole family. It's happening from 12 to 5. We also have things like board game collections. So if you're looking for something, you want to have something that you're thinking about screen time this summer, and you're looking for other types of free and easy activities, you can come into our locations and borrow some board games.
And let's back up even further. If I don't have a library card, where do I start?
Oh, it's super easy. You can even do it from home in your chair. We have an online library card form. You just go to our website, you fill out some information, and we will mail you a library card. It's that easy. You can also come into any of our locations with photo ID and proof of address. In about 5 minutes, you'll have a library card.
So again, just do it. And yet, I would be a great proponent for get yourself in the library, but if one wanted to do some reading and listening, they might not even have to go to the library.
Yeah, in fact, a large number of our users just use us online because we have such a great online collection. You can listen to audiobooks, you can read ebooks, we have comics online, we have films online. So from the comfort of your own home, you can access an incredible amount of resources for free.
Are you still having often some guest authors that grace your presence?
We do. We do have some guest authors. That's still part of our programming as well.
Oh, good. That's always fun. And what history, and I'll go back to your Grand Rapids Public Library downtown. That building has history, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
No ghosts.
Oh.
Maybe books on ghosts.
We have books on ghosts, and you might have to ask people have different opinions on that topic.
Yeah, and that's okay. I think there's a ghost in most of our older places, as they say. Maybe not here in this building in Grand Rapids yet. Okay, Jen, what are you reading now?
I'm reading The Moomin Comic Strips by Tove Jansson. I needed some light summer reading.
Yeah, I think that's realistic with the work you do. What else would you like to share?
Just that we're super excited to be launching this survey to the public, and we really would love your input. So if you just have 1 or 2 minutes, please go online, fill this out for us. We'd be very grateful.
Great. Where exactly am I going?
Going to the Grand Rapids Public Library website. We've got a banner at the top that makes it very easy for you to click and get the survey link.
Wonderful. Do it today, grpl.org. All right, back to work you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
As America prepares to celebrate number 250, let's talk about celebrating the extraordinary people and events that shaped the nation's founding. She's been doing this for a bit in series form. Welcome you, Sharon Virts, to our conversation. A new Fields of Honor series, including Mask of Honor, just released Bargains of Fate, and I know another right around the corner, so let's get caught up. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Shelley. Thank you for inviting me here today.
Of course, part of what we are celebrating and other novels that you've written, for sure, best-selling author. There we are. Do you, in this latest series, weave historical accuracy with cinematic narrative and atmospheric tension? That's a mouthful.
Yes, I do. basically, all my stories are based on true events that actually happened in that sort of period right after the Revolution. So we always talk about the Revolution and the Founding Fathers, but we never really address that second generation, that next generation of leaders who were left with this legacy, these heroes that, you know, to basically start a nation without a playbook, right? They had the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and, you know, that's about it. And off they go. So it really addresses a lot of the tensions, the ambitions against what, you know, was good public policy in an era when there was no, you know, there was no precedent setting court cases. There was no, you know, there was no playbook, as I just said, on exactly how to take this nation forward.
Yes. Introduce us to the general theme of your Fields of Honor series.
Yes. So the books are about character, choice and consequence, right? You know, it's easy to make a decision if it's popular, but it's more difficult when it's not, especially, you know, if it's the right decision and it's not, it's a moral decision. So the books delve into honor, what that means. They delve into ambition. They delve into, of course, there's some romance in there, as much as, you know, I'm not a romance author necessarily, but, you know, I just go where the story leads me, which is pretty exciting. But it really takes place, you know, in that time period. We call it the American Regency period, the era of good feelings before we rolled into the 20s and 30s, but that sort of early 1800s time frame. And, you know, I've written Mask of Honor 5 years ago. It was released 5 years ago, and then it was re-released this past March. And, you know, the series, I just think, is so exciting. It's sort of like someone said to me, it's a bit like, you know, Bridgerton meets John Grisham meets Brave, The Patriot, you know, that Patriot, sort of that kind of a feel to it.
Catch us up on your just released Bargains of Fate.
Right. So Bargains of Fate is set in the period of 1822 to 1826. And it's about a guy who's fought a duel with his brother-in-law and cousin and killed him in the first book. And now he's living with the consequence of his actions. He's married to the love of his life. But nothing is easy. And he's trying to rebuild his life and his image and his reputation in this sort of new fragile republic. His sister-in-law is moving in with him and his wife and causing all sorts of problems that he's got to deal with. Ultimately, he finds himself in a courtroom defending his cousin against the murder of someone that was pretty close to his sister-in-law. In addition to that, he finds himself on a dueling field again. So it's sort of a book that's full of drama. It's full of scandal, which we all seem to love these days. And it really, you know, emphasizes a lot of what the Republic was facing: tariffs, what that was doing to the economy. There was I don't know if you realize this, but there was our first really recession, if you will, in 1819, sort of the collapse of 1819. There was a pandemic in 1826. So a lot of the things that we have been dealing with and deal with in our lives today, we were dealing with 200 years ago. And so it's how this one man, Jack McCarty, who is the hero, the protagonist of the series, is dealing with those kinds of issues thrust into a world in which there are no rules really established, and he's got to make his own through it.
Can hear your passion for sure. Sharon Virts with us, best-selling author, known for her richly layered historical fiction. Speaking about this series, Fields of Honor, book number 2 just released, ready for 3 in 2027. I think we know this, but why is our America's 250th anniversary the perfect time to, well, maybe rediscover forgotten stories and what they teach us today, Sharon?
Well, I believe that, you know, connecting us to the past is important in terms of how we look towards the future. You know, we all know there's lessons to be learned, but I also think we can take some comfort is that we're not the first ones to face the challenges that we face every day, and not just on the national stage, but in our local communities, in our own homes. I mean, we're all dealing with the same sort of, you know, the same sort of pressures and problems and opportunities that we can look forward to. Our founding is an important, really important part of our history. You know, it's interesting, Shelley. I just last night was going through my family tree that my father had worked so diligently to put together. I have 14 patriots that fought in the Revolution. And so when I look at farmers, one gentleman, he and his wife were simply just supplying wheat and grain to the Continental Army. Another one was there when Cornwallis surrendered. Another one took up a rifle and went out in Pennsylvania and was helping fight the British. And so, you know, ordinary people that went out and did heroic, extraordinary things and then returned to their lives to rebuild and to start anew. And I think that's a lesson for all of us to take to heart.
And let's put the spotlight on you for a couple minutes. What, restoring Selma Mansion, a 200-year-old Virginia estate, inspired some of your work?
Indeed. So this house was, you know, it was built originally by a guy named General Armistead Mason. And he is the grandnephew of George Mason IV, one of our founding fathers. And he was the one that fought. He built this house and he fought a duel against Jack McCarty. And when I learned about this story, the drama around it, how the women in their lives played such important roles in attempting to keep those two off the dueling field, And when I learned that ultimately it was Andrew Jackson, who was General Andrew Jackson at the time, was the one who prodded this thing forward, accelerated, did the sort of force them out onto that field to defend their honor, I became really, you know, just enthralled and excited about the story. So the history of this house inspired that first story. What's also interesting is other stories I've written, coincidentally, have had ties to the home. So I was taking a breather in between Mask of Honor, my next book, and I really didn't have an idea for that, what that story was going to be. And I was going through some old news articles, and I saw an article about a woman who was on trial for murdering her husband, her four children, and her aunt. And I was intrigued because we never had those kinds of stories, you know, and this was set in 1872. And I was doing research, decided to write the story, identified my protagonist as the attorney who defended her in that court case. And lo and behold, his daughter lived in this house from 1902 to 1945 in her death, and she died in my bedroom. So now I knew I had to write the story, right? So there are so many fascinating stories and people who have lived in homes like these, and I'm just enthralled with it and, you know, captivated by it. And I just find that living here helps me, you know, really become grounded in the things that I write, the stories that I bring to life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But it was a hot mess, I must say. We did win Virginia's Preservation Award for all the work that we had done, along with David Rubenstein at the same time. So it was pretty exciting to receive that from the Heritage Commission at Virginia Preservation Society there. So it's been a long story. It's been a long road, but we have other houses underway right now that we're restoring and then going to be selling them. So I just enjoy preservation work.
Nice. And what is this Top Revolutionary Reads, a 250th anniversary inspired reading list of books set?
Yes, ma'am. So what I've done is, you know, we all authors need to sort of help each other. And some of friends of mine, Stephanie Dre being one, have written some unbelievably beautiful stories set in the revolutionary time period. Amy Harmon, another one, has written a book about a woman who disguised herself as a soldier so she could fight in the revolution. So I went and picked 10 more current, not like old stuff, but stuff that's been out in the last 5 years or so, novels that are around the revolution. Put those together in a blog that I called, you know, 10 Revolutionary Reads. And I just yesterday awarded all 10 to one lucky winner who will be announced today for all those 10 books. So we have those on my blog. They're on my website if anyone's interested in seeing them. But it's just a really good time to settle into a good book, especially one that's set during the time period of the revolution.
All right, good things happening in these times. How do we find out more information in general, Sharon Virts, about you?
Yes, you can find me at SharonVirts.com, S-H-A-R-O-N, Virts, V as in Victor, I-R-T-S, or my website is TheArtOfLivingHistory.com. And so either place, you can find me on Facebook at Sharon Virts Books, on Instagram at Sharon Virts Books, and in wherever books are sold, you can find all of my novels on audio, on ebook, and in hardcover and paperback.
That's how it works. Thank you, Sharon. Take care to you on behalf of your Fields of Honor series. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Get into our next conversation because today's a big day. It'll come around again in August. We're talking all things. Oh my goodness, I had it on my phone. Let's see where we are. It's about Kids Rocks and more. Talking to my three guests in studio. Good that you are here, Jeff Grill. We've talked before. Roving Microphone has visited mm-hmm. you. Good morning. Thank
Pardon?
You. Good morning.
Oh, thank you. Good
yes.
morning to you.
And I appreciate the young one in the house. Good that you are here, Blake. Sheldon, is it Sheldon? Sladen. Because that's your...
Hello.
Hello, that's your mom. Oh, now I'm getting the whole picture here.
Yay!
Jessica Gutowski-Sladen set up our conversation as far as what is happening today when it comes to kids and rocks and good times in Cannon Township.
Thank you so much for having us, Shelley.
Good. Tell me a little bit about today.
Sure. So today we are going to have a rock painting event. It's called O Cannon Kids Rock. It is at the Fire Truck Park right behind Cannon Township. It will be from 3 to 5 p.m. And it's just going to be a really fun event.
Wonderful. Was this your idea, Jeff?
Yeah.
I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Yep, I wanted to. It goes back a few years, but I was a wood turner and still do a little bit, but not as much as I used to.
That's okay. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And but we, I just took some small pieces and hung them in trees along the larger trail, and this. There were a few people who came forward and said, "Oh, there's somebody's going to get." I had a lot of good comments back, but they thought that they were afraid that somebody's going to be looking at those and somebody's going to be coming down a hill on a bike and hit. Yeah.
Get struck.
So,
yep.
Yep. So they folded the whole thing up and said, "Let's not do that." But Todd Olson, who's head of properties,
He's a trustee for Cannon Township. Oh. Yeah. And I believe you and Todd are neighbors too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it's full circle.
He suggested maybe we try to do something in the smaller walking area. It's about a half a mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little area behind the township hall.
Nice. Came
up with the idea of a rock paint in. And I just thought it'd be kind of fun.
And now it's happening.
These guys, you know, paint things for a couple, 2 or 3 years, and then come back when they're 10, 12.
Cool. Oh, Cannon
20
Kids.
Years old.
Yes.
Whatever.
Oh, Cannon Kids Rock. It's an event by Cannon Township office. Of course, Jessica Sladen's involved. Let me turn to you, Blake Sladen. What grade are you going to be in next year? Or, in a month?
I'm going into seventh grade.
Oh, that's a good year. Tell me about how you were involved with this event.
Well, I came last year, and it was pretty fun because I got to paint and then set them down, and then I got to see them.
Good, good.
And what are you painting on your rock? Come right up to that microphone.
Just paint whatever you want. It's all about being creative.
Yes. What do you paint?
Mostly smiley faces.
That's a good answer, Mom Jessica.
It's great to see my kids so excited. You know, I am third generation for my family business. My dad was always taking me to events and planning events, and I get super emotional because it's so cool that now I'm doing it and my kids are engaged. And the fact that Blake will go on this radio show with you, yes, despite being a bit nervous, changing that energy and making it into excitement, and to be able to be here with you and just build community. I mean, this is... For me, this is like what life's all about.
This is a big deal. So, Blake Sladen, you'll be out there this afternoon then?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, if Mom lets you. And this is at the Cannon Township Fire Truck Park. I'll stay with you, Jessica.
Yeah, that's correct. So there is a pavilion right next to the Fire Truck Park, directly behind Cannon Township offices on M44 Belding Road. And so we'll be back there. Jeff sets up, actually has all the rocks set up there already. And so it's just to come as you are, paint a rock or two. The adults always ask if they can paint one too. And we try to prioritize that first for kids because Jeff collects these all year. But, you know, it's a lot of work to get them there. He cleans them and brushes them. But also this year, we're going to have a few fun extras. So the fire department's going to set up a sprinkler. Grand Valley Metro Council is going to have some safety items that they're passing out free of charge. Prine and Newhoff's going to have a geology station.
Nice.
And so we're just... You know me, Shelley. We're trying to bring people together, get them excited. It's a great event for moms in the area, too, as well. We try to schedule it, you know, at a time period between naps, and hopefully you got something in the crock pot that you can just step away for a couple hours. Folks are always saying, I want to meet people. Where can I get out and meet people in my neighborhood? And so this is a great way to come to a park, meet a fellow mom, and hopefully make a new friend, not only for your kids, but for the parents as well.
Jeff Grill, again, you, the artist behind the project. You're quoted as saying this is more than just painting rocks, yes?
Oh, if you say so.
Well, your quote that I'm reading.
No, yeah. Because I think it does. It moms get together with their kids for the most part.
Yes.
And we, you know, you can... It's just a great bunch of people together, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Just a lot of fun.
Jeff, tell them about how you talked about you're hoping kids come back and get to see their rocks. At another time.
Yep.
That's a nice part.
Yeah. I think that I thought that'd be great if we can keep doing this. It's one of the challenges in trying to design something that you can add something onto it each year, and still be able to have something that is interesting as the years go by.
Back to you, Blake. Step up to your microphone. Again, what do you most look forward to in doing this?
Painting the rocks and just play with new friends that I can make.
Yes, very nice. And hanging out with your mom, I'm sure, is second best. And Mr. Jeff is an opportunity. Jeff, as we start to wind down, are these rocks cleaned rocks that you've prepared? Is that a whole art in itself?
It's not really an art.
It's a
duty,
right?
You just collect them and scrub them. Yes. But I go out to a rock quarry or a stone quarry, and just pick up rocks and bring them back, scrub them with soap and water and let them dry and throw them in and haul them down to the township hall. So.
Yes. Yes,
yep,
and
it's heavy work.
And we hold, O'Cannon Kids Rock. It is today, and then there's another day in August, Jess?
Yes, we're going to be back at it again August 13th. So last year, Jeff and I worked on planning this event, and we thought, well, maybe if we get lucky to have 20 kids, we'll be excited. It was a rainstorm, and we still had nearly 100, and so we ran out of rocks. And it's so funny. I love the show Parks and Rec. Commissioner Katie DeBoer came to the event as well, and we ran out of rocks, and our fire department told us there was some down in, the gully. So it's raining, and me and Commissioner DeBoer are digging in the trenches trying to pull out more rocks for kids to paint, and it never felt more like a live episode of Parks and Rec because we were just having the best time, and the only negative that I want parents to know about is the rocks don't go home with you.
Okay.
So you paint them.
Take a picture.
Yep.
Right?
And then Jeff's going to take them. And yeah. What do you do with them, Jeff, after that?
Then I basically put a clear coat of kind of like varnish, but it's intended for outdoor use, and it's water-based. So then I paint every one of these things with a couple of coats of sealer, and then take it back and then put it. And one of the challenges is to try and come up with something that can grow, year by year. If we can do it again, a third year or a fourth year.
You are looking to the future. We must say our goodbyes. Be careful with the air quality, but be efficient in your painting. Blake Sladen, I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of rock you paint. I'll have your mom send a picture. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, keep up your good work. Do you play an instrument?
Yes, I play the cello.
Okay, that's even better. You have to join your mom in a band. I digress. Jeff, is there a way to find out more information about your work?
I'm a retired architect, so I'm basically in a wood turner, but I've backed away from wood turning.
Well, it's still good wood turning. We'll find you out today. Where are we headed, Jess, in closing?
You're going to head at Cannon Township just off Belding Road, M44, and we'll be there from 3 to 5 p.m. We have a Facebook event, so if there are any updates or with the weather we have any issues, we'll be posting there so parents can be prepared. But for sure, we'll see you tonight, 3 to 5, or on August 13th.
Wonderful. O'Cannon Kids Rock is the name. And, of course, thanks for your leadership, Jessica, your art, Jeff, and just you, Blake. Thanks, guys.
Great.
Thank you, Shelly.
Shelly Irwin, your inspiration for the day, according to Oscar Wilde, with freedom, flowers, books, and the moon, who could not be perfectly happy? Throw a rock in there, and it's a perfect day. Be safe. Take care.
Thank you.